What happens when the world's greatest Go player realizes he's no match for a machine? In May 2017, 19-year-old Qi Ji sat across from Google's AlphaGo, watching his centuries-old game being dismantled by silicon and code. As tears streamed down his face, something shifted, not just in the match, but in an entire nation's technological consciousness. Within months, China announced its audacious plan to dominate global AI by 2030, unleashing a wave of investment and innovation that would reshape the global technology landscape. This wasn't just another tech competition. It was a fundamental reimagining of what artificial intelligence could become when married to China's unique ecosystem of relentless entrepreneurs, massive data reserves, and government ambition. The question isn't whether AI will transform our world, it's whether we're ready for what comes next. For years, the West dismissed China as a nation of copycats. This view missed a profound transformation within China's technology ecosystem. China's copycat era was an intensive technological apprenticeship. Entrepreneurs mastered interface design, back-end architecture, and user experience while adapting products to Chinese needs. Jack Ma's Taobao exemplified this approach. When eBay entered China with a rigid platform, Ma countered with localized features, an escrow payment system for low-trust environments, real-time buyer-seller messaging, and permanently free listings. While eBay dismissed this as unsustainable, Ma built a massive marketplace where sellers eventually paid for visibility. The real crucible was China's gladiatorial business environment. The 3Q war between Qihoo 360 and Tencent showcased brutal tactics, smear campaigns, product sabotage, legal harassment. This kill-or-be-killed mentality drove relentless iteration. Entrepreneurs released products quickly, gathered feedback, and adapted rapidly, embodying lean startup principles before Silicon Valley formalized the methodology. Wang Xing's transformation captures this evolution. Initially dismissed as the cloner for replicating Friendster, Facebook, Twitter, and Groupon, Wang evolved into a sophisticated entrepreneur. When thousands of Groupon clones emerged, his Meituan focused on product optimization and back-end efficiency while competitors burned cash on advertising. He continuously expanded into food delivery, movie tickets, and hotel bookings, transforming Meituan into a $30 billion consumer empire. This wasn't copying anymore. This was innovation forged in fire. Around 2013, China's internet diverged from the West, built on three pillars: mobile-first users, WeChat's super app dominance, and ubiquitous mobile payments. This created what became known as the Saudi Arabia of data. Most Chinese users leapfrogged computers entirely, jumping straight to smartphones. This mobile-first approach fundamentally shaped Chinese technology. The internet became a portable tool for solving real-world problems in dense urban environments. WeChat became the centerpiece. Starting as a messaging app in 2011, Tencent transformed it into the world's first super app, a remote control for life, integrating payments, transportation, healthcare, and countless services. The breakthrough came on Chinese New Year's Eve 2014, when WeChat introduced digital red envelopes. This playful feature led 5 million users to link bank accounts in a single night. Jack Ma called it a Pearl Harbor attack on Alibaba's payment dominance. China leapfrogged credit cards entirely, moving directly from cash to mobile payments through QR codes. By 2017, 65% of China's 753 million smartphone users had enabled mobile payments. The system penetrated everywhere. Street vendors, beggars, even informal economy workers displayed QR codes. Chinese mobile payments exceeded $17 trillion, outpacing U.S. mobile payments 50 to 1. This created a fundamental difference: going light versus going heavy. American companies build information platforms but let others handle logistics. Chinese companies dive deep into operations, recruiting sellers, managing delivery teams, controlling payments. While Yelp retreated to reviews, DinePing invested heavily in delivery infrastructure, reaching a $30 billion valuation, triple that of Yelp and Grubhub combined. The shared bicycle revolution marked another transformation. Starting in 2015, bike-sharing startups deployed tens of millions of internet-connected bicycles across Chinese cities. By fall 2017, Mobike alone logged 22 million rides daily, four times Uber's global total. Chinese companies now outpace American counterparts by staggering ratios: 10 to 1 in food deliveries, 50 to 1 in mobile payments, 300 to 1 in shared bike rides. The AI revolution unfolds as four distinct waves, each disrupting different sectors and embedding artificial intelligence deeper into daily life. Internet AI functions as recommendation engines, learning personal preferences. China's Jinri Taotao curates personalized news feeds based on user behavior, even rewriting headlines to optimize clicks. Users spend 74 minutes daily on the platform, testament to algorithmic engagement. Business AI mines databases for hidden correlations. Smart Finance offers AI-powered microloans by analyzing unconventional phone data, typing speed, battery power, app usage, to predict credit worthiness, revealing thousands of weak features correlated with repayment likelihood. Perception AI gives machines the ability to see and hear, creating OMO, online merge offline environments that bring online convenience to physical spaces. Future supermarkets will feature smart carts that greet customers by name and navigate autonomously. Autonomous AI integrates the preceding waves, fusing optimization abilities with sensory powers. Beyond self-driving cars, it will revolutionize factories, warehouses, and cities. Two philosophies compete: Google's perfectionist approach versus Tesla's incremental deployment. The real AI crisis isn't superintelligence. It's jobs, inequality, and purpose. AI will eliminate jobs across economic classes, exacerbate global inequality, concentrate power in monopolistic companies, and force us to redefine our purpose. Many economists dismiss technology-induced unemployment fears as a Luddite fallacy, but AI is a general-purpose technology, triggering an economic revolution larger and faster than the Industrial Revolution. PwC predicts AI will add $15.7 trillion to the global economy by 2030, larger than China's entire GDP today. AI's job replacement depends on specific tasks, not traditional skill levels. Combining direct replacements with ground-up disruptions, AI could technically automate 40 to 50% of U.S. jobs within 10-20 years. Social friction will slow actual losses, but net unemployment might reach 20 to 25%, representing 30-40 million displaced Americans. The gap between AI superpowers, China and U.S., and other nations will dwarf differences between these two. PwC estimates they'll capture 70% of AI's economic contribution by 2030. Beyond economics, AI-induced unemployment inflicts profound personal damage. Since the Industrial Revolution, work has anchored our identity and meaning. Losing this damages more than finances. It assaults our sense of purpose. For most of my adult life, I operated like an optimization algorithm: maximize personal influence, minimize everything else. This brought success: becoming a top AI researcher, founding Asia's best computer science institute, launching Google China, creating a successful venture fund. Then in September 2013, stage 4 lymphoma forced me to confront what truly mattered. Writing my will, I realized the tragedy wasn't dying soon, but that I had lived so long without generously sharing love with those closest to me: my wife, daughters, family. At a Buddhist monastery, Venerable Master Heng Yun challenged my goal of maximizing impact, suggesting my justifications were disguised ego and that constant calculating eats away at what's really inside of us. It suffocates the one thing that gives us true life: love. After recovery, I transformed, taking weeks off when my daughters visit, traveling with my wife, caring for my mother, keeping weekends free for friends. My cancer revealed a fundamental truth. Medical technology saved my life, but I wouldn't be sharing this story without love. For all AI's capabilities, we alone can love and be loved, and this makes our lives worthwhile. Silicon Valley offers three solutions for AI-induced job losses: retraining, reduced work hours, or income redistribution. Universal Basic Income has gained traction, with Y Combinator testing monthly payments to Oakland families. Yet UBI acts as a painkiller, a technical fix to a complex social problem. I propose a social investment stipend, government payment for activities building compassionate society, care work, community service, and education. By requiring social contribution, we foster collective responsibility rather than individualism, recognizing that economic abundance came from shared effort. The private sector must create humanistic jobs through human-AI symbiosis, machines handling optimization while humans provide creativity and compassion. Impact investing should focus on meaningful service roles, lactation consultants, youth coaches, family historians, nature guides, elderly companions. These jobs generate real revenue without requiring exponential tech returns. The AI race rhetoric undermines our shared future by suggesting zero-sum competition. As AI spreads globally, we must learn from each other. South Korea's gifted education, American social-emotional learning, Swiss craftsmanship, Canadian volunteering, Chinese elder care, and Bhutan's happiness metrics. When I began my AI career in 1983, I called it the quantification of human thinking. 35 years later, I see differently. If AI helps us understand ourselves, it won't be because algorithms captured our minds, but because they liberated us to focus on what makes us human, loving and being loved. Let machines be machines and humans be humans.